happy to have on the line with us now Congressman Bill Huizinga, with plenty, I'm sure, to say about what's been going on in Washington over the last couple of days. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Hey, Dave, no problem. Glad to be with you.
All right. So your colleague and mate from the state of Michigan, Fred Upton, had these hearings yesterday, which, what a grilling Kathleen Sebelius took, and rightfully so, for some of the issues going on with the healthcare, the website, and the program itself. What was your take on the hearing yesterday and her testimony?
Yeah, I mean, whether it was her or whether it was the president out there and the White House spokesman, it's all been about duck and cover, frankly. And I give her credit for saying, I apologize and I'm sorry. However, this was what so many of us were talking about for frankly, the 2.5 years that I've been there, the lead up into the shutdown and a number of other things. This is not ready for prime time. The contractors have said that. They've said, look, this was an HHS call. Dave Camp had some of those hearings earlier last week, where they had the contractors that were in charge of putting the site up, last minute changes that were going on. Mike Rogers made the point yesterday, they have not done end to end testing. And as they put in these patches every day, trying to fix these issues, they're not testing it again. So it's a huge, huge security breach and a security concern. And she had the ability, the legal ability, unlike what she tried to say, which is she was forced to roll this out October 1. That's not true. She had the legal ability to delay this, and they decided not to.
And it's shocking. And you know, from your time in the private sector, you're a business owner. This is, I mean, if this happened in the private sector, these contracts would be canceled. People would be in trouble. They test the thing backwards and forwards before they roll it out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you have to delay a launch, you delay a launch. You get it right, and that's what so many of us were trying to do. And we knew that this was going to be happening. And I think you might have heard me say, their words aren't matching up with their actions. You know, they're delaying the employer mandate because they know it's not ready, but they're not willing to do that on the individual mandate. They're doing these carve outs. They're doing these, various exemptions and exceptions. And that is just creating more of a problem here because you're not dealing with the true issues. And you know, frankly, the website is not the real problem. That's just a symptom of the problem. The real problem is this isn't working. And that's, I think, the real interesting thing. And we've seen, you know, Wood TV8 locally and last night WZZM running stories about people who have been getting those cancellation letters. And they are cancellation letters. This isn't a change in policy. This is a cancellation letter. If your copay went up or down or you changed it by $5 over the last 3 years, that, according to the administration, is a change in policy. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, you've got people, this is a great quote. This guy who's putting himself through community college, who bought his own insurance, his quote is, quote, I'm really going from an independent financial individual to someone who needs help from the government to pay for insurance. And that is not what we should be doing. It should be safety net. It should not be just having to somehow play big brother and figure out what's best for everybody when they are feeling like they can do it on their own.
So, you know, we've talked about the at different times during the government shutdown, people are talking about rolling back Obamacare. How do you unwind this and make it so it does work? Is it workable? And if it's not, are we stuck with it anyway?
Well, there's two things here, Dave. One, is the technology ready? Clearly, that is not the case. Clearly. And we know that the data hub is having problems. We know that there's security breaches, and our personal information, financial and health information, is vulnerable. We know that that doctors aren't ready to go into this. Insurance companies aren't ready to go into this. So the technology and all of the structure is not ready. That's one issue. The other issue is, will this actually deliver more health care at a lower cost to more people? Better health care, lower cost to more people? And the answer is no. You know, they had these promises out there. If you like your insurance, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep them or her. If you're going to go out and take care of your kids and you like your coverage the way that it is, you'll be able to keep it. That's not the case. They're deciding that, no, we know better. The government, federal government, the administration knows better what's the proper level of insurance for you and your family, and this is what you must take. And that to me is hugely problematic.
And so, where are we going to be 6 months, a year from now, when the insurance is supposed to be actually covering people, and say it doesn't fit their individual needs or their family needs?
Well, yeah, and one of those needs, frankly, is the financial side. They had the number right. They said it was going to save the average family $2,500. Well, they've now revised that to where it's going to cost the average family an additional $2,500 a year. And it's no, it's not on that. It's not always on that monthly premium amount. It's also on the deductibles. You have to look at those things. And we know already the stories that like this guy Jordan from ZZM that had quoted last night. His premium was going to triple. So you've got these stories of, you know, a 50% increase, 100% increase, a tripling of what you're paying on the monthly premium. But then it's also the story about what your deductibles are going to be. And I'm afraid that that people are going to find out, hopefully not too late, that this is a raw deal, and it's a deal that's not good for them personally, and it's not good for us as a country and for our economy.
So the president yesterday is in Boston before the World Series, and he's kind of playing off the whole Romney Care thing when he said when all these doubters said this will happen in Massachusetts, it didn't. See, this is the same thing that's going on now. Just be patient. It's all going to work out. Relax. And for the small percentage where your insurance is going to be changes because you're going to get a better plan. That's all spin.
I think it is. And here's a big, big, big difference. All right. I had my disagreements with Governor Romney and the program. Big difference, though, when a state decides to do it and when the federal government comes in and forces people to do something. That, in my opinion, violates the Constitution. In fact, the Supreme Court said the only way it doesn't is that if we classify this as a tax, which is what the White House clearly said it was not. I guess maybe that falls into the, well, if you like your doctor, you can keep them category of promises made, promises broken. That is a very different thing than having the federal government mandate and force people to get coverage on what they don't want. I mean, really? So maybe Jordan here, who's going to community college, he really needs to make sure that he's got abortion services covered. I mean, that doesn't make any sense when you've got people who are happy with what they have, who believe that it meets their needs and what they're going through in life at that point. My insurance needs were very different when I was 25 and newly married and didn't have any kids to where I am here at 44 with five kids and responsibilities. I should have that flexibility to choose what I'm going to do. This crew believes that they know better and that they're going to force it on everybody.
All right, quick question about the budget, because yesterday they had at least a photo op when talking about this the new budget negotiations, which will be ongoing so that we don't end up in a stalemate again. Nobody was optimistic, I guess, yesterday about this actually getting done, but still they had the meeting anyway. Are we going to find ourselves in another budget stalemate and maybe the potential for another government shutdown?
Yeah. I hope not. I have said, though, and this was one of my reasons for voting against the deal back a couple of weeks ago, we've got long-term problems, and they're trying to deal with it with short-term solutions, and it's not going to work. And I hope and pray that we're not on the same song, just a different verse here, in a few weeks and a month and a half or so. But I think it's about setting expectations. I had a long talk with Paul Ryan. He's become a good friend, and about it. And I think it's really about managing expectations. I don't anticipate or expect a grand bargain. The big thing that Harry Reid, and I think you saw this in the last couple of days of the shutdown, it's really for them about spending. They want to erase the sequester cuts, you know, those across-the-board cuts that happened. They want to backfill in. In fact, they want to go the opposite direction. They want to spend more money, not less money. And I'm not willing to go along with that, and I think my colleagues aren't willing to go along with that unless we have some long-term changes that are going to bring long-term benefits. And that means entitlement reform, and that means how we're going to balance this out to make sure that this mountain of debt that we're getting ourselves into isn't going to drown our kids and our grandkids.
Until there's enough people that agree that that long-term restructuring has to take place, there won't be. We're just going to go kind of piecemeal to piecemeal. Is that your take?
Well, yeah. Unfortunately, Dave, that may be the case, and you've got. And I give the president some credit on this. He has talked about things like chain CPI for the calculation of how we're going to figure out what Social Security is going to be. That's what this chain CPI is about. And you've got Harry Reid and the Democrats in the Senate absolutely refusing to go along with any even conversation about it. That's the thing I don't quite get, is how he's gotten away with being really the one that's been recalcitrant and who's just been dug in and entrenched, who is saying he won't even talk, he won't even negotiate, won't even ponder this unless it's exactly the way that he wants it. You know, look, we've got to have the American people be heard in this, and they get heard through their elections. I understand they're not happy. I'm not happy with what's going on. It's a pretty ugly process, but we've gotten through tougher things. We can get through this. We just need people to have some courage and to face the real true issues that are in front of us.
All right. We got to run right now, but we'll be talking to you again soon. Thank you for the time this morning.
Hey, thanks, Dave.